Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. It must be 21 years or older.
All right, let's talk about sports. Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Extra Points, presented as ever by our pals over there in Omaha. Damashek here behind the glass over in Staten Island, New York. Eddie Spaghetti. And ready to make her pages before she gets rolling with her fancy Tom Brady roast joke writing. She's going to kibitz about the world of sports with us. I'm talking about the roastest with the mostest. It's Sarah Tiana. How are you, sister?
I'm good. I'm like, I've been watching way too much Patriots documentaries. I'm like, I'm watching way more Tom Brady than I've ever wanted to watch, you know? But it's been great. He's amazing. You know, I never want, it's like, you know, when you've hated someone for so long and then they move to your division and you're like, well, now I hate you, but you're also playing for Tampa Bay, so I feel sorry for you. Then he wins the Super Bowl. Then his last year, he's just like awful. So you're kind of like, you kind of feel sorry for the old man. And now he's retired and like the Patriots suck. So it's like not really a threat. It's like I don't really have the animosity that I used to, but I have to write these animosity jokes.
Well, wait a second. But there's a new layer. There are two new layers, as a matter of fact. First of all, you, the Atlanta Falcons fan, your team's owner, Arthur Blank, had what sounds like an interesting back and forth with the Patriots owner, Bob Kraft, about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and all the rest of it. But, and by the way, I also want to talk about Caitlin Clark and Greg Doyle and that weird back and forth that they had in Indianapolis earlier in the week. But okay, let's stay on all things Patriots, Falcons, and the rest of it. And by the way, the other chapter, you say like now he can't hurt you. Well, he most certainly could, because he said, Tom Brady did. Oh yeah, I'm open to coming back. What in the hell? How much crap are you giving him in the roast for this one?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've already written a bunch of jokes about it, maybe even a song about it. Oh. So, yeah, we're having some fun with it. I don't think it's a realistic threat. I think there are way too many other quarterbacks.
If you don't get your affairs in order, I'm going to come back. I'll come up there.
I mean, to me, I feel like he's very much like Belichick. Like he's a guy that could come in the middle of the season in a Joe Flacco way, you know, or the way that Belichick could come in the middle of a season if a coach gets fired. But both of them have incredible media careers ahead of them. So like they should just enjoy it for the first time. It's part of the reason that I believe Tom Brady's even doing this roast. I feel like this is his Rumspringa, right? Like he's just like... I've been like not eating strawberries for 20 years. And like now I can like finally have a smoothie, you know?
if he were a normal human being, wouldn't he be like 80 pounds heavier than he was a year ago? Shouldn't he like be fat now, living life, not just surviving to play football, you know, not just surviving for 6 days and 21 hours just to live for those 3 hours on Sundays. Shouldn't it be the reverse now? And he should be veering towards morbid obesity because of all the milkshakes and hamburgers and pizza and hamburgers he's eating.
Yeah, I think it's kind of hard to flip that switch off. You know, like you're still a weirdo who's like obsessive about the, you know, controlling your body and your like physical beliefs, you know. It's kind of like Jack Reacher, where you're like, this guy lived on military bases and was always told what to do his whole life. Then he retires and he's like, I'm just going to have a toothbrush and walk around the U.S. You know, like it's like the opposite things that people do. So I don't know.
Like I've said it before, I haven't had the prime that Tom Brady had as his prime in his chosen career. Nevertheless, I have said, like, I used to say when I'm eight, when I get to 80, heroin addiction, LSD and otherwise, I then moved it up to 75, then I moved it up to 70. Now I'm at 65 years young. It's all on. Like, you know, at that point, Tom Brady, though, He has more money than he could spend in 100 lifetimes. Well, you know, start taking the spike, man. Start tripping balls. Be drunk every day like you were off getting off that boat after you got that one trophy. That should be every day, right?
Right. That should be every day. Like that should be every day. You're absolutely right.
Okay, so Brady is doing whatever Brady's doing, and he may come back, or at least he's threatening that he might. Now, Bill Belichick wanted to come back. He wanted to be in a job at this time, prepping for the NFL draft. The problem was no NFL teams wanted him, and that's weird, first of all, because a lot of people allege him as the GOAT. That is hard to then line up why no one would want him. That's interesting. Also, he's an old man, and that probably is why, because how long is he realistically going to coach your team? By the way, I did hear 4 minutes ago you compare Tom Brady to Joe Flacco, and I'm going to tell Tom Brady that you compared him to Joe Flacco and see how he thinks about you after he hears that one. However, Eddie Spaghetti, sorry to bug you up there. Eddie Spaghetti coming to us from his childhood bedroom where he has his dry cleaning hanging up in the background. Classy look. Thank goodness most people are listening to us.
Yeah, I have a wedding. So to get everyone up to speed on the whole, you know, Belichick, Kraft, Arthur Blank scenario, back January 25th, obviously Bill Belichick unemployed for the first time in quite a while. Every other head coaching vacancy was filled, had multiple meetings with Arthur Blank on his super yacht in his home. Blank even flew Belichick out on his private jet. Meetings went well. Belichick at that time thought the job was his, and also said that, like, the Falcons have the group with Terry Fontenot and all the other front office members, that he's not going to meddle in their affairs. And then Arthur Blank is very, very close with Bob Kraft, went to Bob Kraft, said, "What do you think about Bill Belichick?" And of course, as we've seen in the, you know, the release of this documentary, it's pretty pointed, pretty against Bill Belichick. And he said, basically, do not trust him. And Arthur Blank went back to his advisors within the organization, and they all said, "Well, we don't have Bill Belichick ranked very high either. So if Bob Kraft doesn't like him, we don't like him. Let's not hire him." And now Sarah's new head coach is Raheem Morris. So, and Bill Belichick is without a job. And of course, now the Patriots are coming out and saying that never happened. Bob Kraft never said that. But, you know, ESPN did a pretty deep dive in the article. I believe Jeremy Fowler, Seth Wickersham, and a few others all contributed to this.
Wickersham, for the record, Wickersham is the guy who, whatever it is now, 6-7 years ago, probably at least, that the kerfuffle at the time between Belichick and Brady and Kraft, and Kraft took, if I remember correctly, Kraft kind of sided with Brady, and Belichick didn't like that. And they didn't want Jimmy G hovering right behind him. There was some momentum that Jimmy G was, you know, positioned to take over for Brady. I know that's hard to believe now, but at the time there was some thought about that. And so Belichick, how did that go? I don't remember exactly. Belichick shipped them across the country, basically, to San Francisco and put Jimmy G in a new spot. Wickersham.
He said, "I'm going to make you a legend in your, I'm going to make this guy a legend in your hometown."
Right.
Basically, and what he said.
Right. And so, there was something beneath it that wasn't just,
and
like,
traded him away for nothing. Remember, the Patriots got nothing in return.
But at the time, there was like, this is all National Enquirer kind of jive and all that. But I think it's all proven out to be accurate. I think so. Wickersham is not somebody to sort of shrug off. It's like, that's somebody looking to get a headline. I think this is valid stuff, which I think is crazy that Kraft is telling Blank that. It feels like it should be a monster story on some level. And Tiana, you're right there with Brady. I can't wait to hear what Tom Brady thinks about all this. Do you ask him? Like, how's that go when he gets on the Zoom today with you guys? He's not there physically with you guys right in the gym.
No. He's in Florida at his house. Usually he looks all tan. No, I don't ask. I'll text him. No, I don't text him.
But I mean, if you're writing roast jokes, I don't think it's out of bounds to ask him, like, what do you think about all this?
I will ask him when I get him alone in a room for as long as I want. There's lots of things I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask him if he really thought there was defensive holding 3 plays in a row during that Super Bowl, you know, stuff like that. But no, I am fascinated. I mean, obviously owners have their besties, right? And they're people, you know, and everybody who seems to like Arthur Smith and Kraft, like they all seem like they've Arthur always Blank. Like been on.
You don't want to be praising Arthur, Arthur Smith. You God, moved on yeah, from sorry. Him. He's for me to
yeah, you're right. yeah, yeah. Arthur Blank and Kraft seem to be pretty close. So I wouldn't be shocked if that was true. I don't think that they could have even reported it if it wasn't.
Interesting too. Yes, there's legitimate, you know, professional risk if you start shooting your mouth yeah. off about what billionaire is saying to another billionaire and you're wrong about that, they can take you to task for it. So yeah, the fact that, you know, whatever, 48 hours later the story still stands maybe kind of proves the merit in it. Interesting stuff as far as that goes. The bottom line is you have Raheem Morris. Do you yeah. think, what do you think the chances are? Eddie Spaghetti, I'm going to throw it to you because the Giants really could have done it too. And there was some smoke that maybe Bill mm-hmm. Belichick over the years would want to go back to the New York Football Giants. As objective as you can be, Eddie Spaghetti, well, Sarah Tiana, scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that 1 year from now she'll be like, I can't believe we didn't take Bill Belichick when he was sitting there and instead we took Raheem Morris? Concern level for your friend Tiana Spaghetti.
I am not, like, I don't think Raheem Morris is a bad hire in comparison to Bill Belichick. I think maybe if there was a better option, Raheem Morris, I'd rather argue that more so than Belichick, just because I'm not sure if I could fully believe in the Belichick not being a GM and his track record as a GM or meddling in, like, the acquisition of players has not been great. And unfortunately for him too, it's like, you know, we've had on guys like Chris Long and others who have played for Belichick and we've heard some stories. It just doesn't seem like he's really a player's coach. And I think in this today, you know, the world today where players are their own brand, they are superstars, they are making so much money, like, they just don't need to be yelled at by like a 70 plus year old man. So I think in terms of that, Raheem Morris is definitely the better hire. But I don't think it's going to be that devastating to her. And I also think the roster is going to be a lot better. So they're going to be a good team.
Well, with Kirk Cousins, Word. Sure, the Falcons should be good. And so that then is the one team that you would say out of the 32 teams out there that with Kirk Cousins locked in, well, there are a number of teams that obviously have their franchise QB locked up. Do you think, Sarah Tiana, that if you were in some state of limbo as a pro football team, as in we don't have our QB 100% solved and we don't know exactly what the trajectory of our football team is going to be in this coming season, let's hire Bill Belichick right now. Let's move heaven and earth to get Belichick in there because Tom Brady says he's now willing to come back and maybe we can get both of them. And maybe we can chase a Super Bowl together. Do you think that's plausible? Or do you think the existence of Belichick on a team would mean that by definition, Tom Brady would never go there?
I think that that Tom Brady would not go to play for Belichick again. I think that I think that they are too much alike. I think that that relationship eventually soured because they were the same person. And I think that's the only reason that it worked for as long as it did is because they were two minds who really, really get along. You ever, like, my sister and my sister-in-law are so similar. And I was so afraid for them to meet because I was like, they are going to either love each other or hate each other. You know, when two people are too alike. And by all accounts, that is exactly how Tom and Bill are. They are like, Tom got into that Bill mindset and like always had that mindset. Like, and I just, like, as a Falcons fan, I didn't want to have to hire another quarterback in 3 years because of Bill's age. I felt like the Patriot way was like not a strong, it doesn't just fit. Not everybody can just do the Patriot way. It takes a perfect storm of mindsets for it to actually work. I don't think Bill drafts well. People go, oh, there's a Patriots fan here in my writer's room. He's like, he drafted Tom Brady. I go, he drafted him 199. He's like, but he was the fourth backup and he kept him on the team. And then he made him Bledsoe's backup. And like, okay, so he hit once. Like, he also drafted Mac Jones. He also traded for Cam Newton. Like, these are all quarterback assessments that I don't find to be a good star on your record. And that's the only thing to me that the Falcons were missing was,
well, by the way, Patriot way can largely, you can retroactively boil the entire Patriot way mystique down to Tom Brady. I mean, the, once you remove 12 from it, the whole thing felt borderline fraudulent, as we've seen over the last 3 years.
Yeah. Working out when you didn't have to work out, first one in the facility. Like, it's really hard to find a, you know, you have quarterbacks that develop and can turn into Tom Brady, but they have to have this crazy mentality. They also have to study behind another great quarterback for a year and ask Drew Bledsoe a bazillion questions. You know what I mean? A quarterback who had been there for 9 years already. Like, it's really essential to the development of a young quarterback to be able to study behind another pro. And I think that is exactly what Raheem Morris is doing. I think when he was first put in to the Falcons system, you know, he was our defensive guy. And then he came in as the interim when they fired Dan Quinn. And I think it was like a little too soon for him to be in that position. He goes and incubates with Sean McVay for 3 years.
We've now seen that back. Happen before. Sure.
It's great. Yeah. I think he's going to be great. He's young. He's fun. Guys respect him. We really need our defense to be strong. So I think we got a defensive minded coach. We didn't get Belichick. We got a young coach that somebody needed to take a chance on, like a defensive whiz. And that's who Belichick was. He was a defensive whiz that somebody finally took a chance on, and then it worked.
Listen, right now, as we have this conversation, it makes all the sense in the world to me that you wouldn't take Bill Belichick. You have this young emerging coaching star, and Raheem Morris has been in some good spots over the last year to sort of bridge the gap from being a little bit too young in his first shot as a head coach, but probably has learned some things along the way. I agree with you. It also, though, we could very well 12 months from now, like, what the hell were the Atlanta Falcons thinking? What were all these teams with coaching vacancies thinking? Not hiring Bill Belichick, who wanted the job. And you said, like, nah, we're going to take Raheem Morris instead. It could feel crazy, but right now I'm with you 100%.
I disagree. Anything's possible. But I think that the bigger question might be the offense that the new offensive coordinator runs. I think that is really the only thing that I'm questioning, because he was a newbie in the Rams system. So this will be his first big gig. I think he was the quarterbacks coach for the Rams. So like, this will be his first offensive coordinator gig. So to me, that's the more untested factor, is like, I don't think Raheem could be the problem. I think it could be our OC.
Well, I mean, if I don't know, we'll see how things go up in Pittsburgh for Arthur Smith. But if it doesn't work out, he might be available as your offensive coordinator. Give it some thought. Don't make a decision right now.
Let me squeeze in a quick break here. You know, when the conversation turns tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code, listen up, OmahaFull, the word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, let's switch to the other thing I wanted to yap with you about. And there's all the gambling stuff. We've been going in on Shohei and Ipe, and now Jontay Porter suspended. And I mean, I was suspended for life. And other financial stuff, WNBA salaries. But I feel like the overarching, the women pro basketball players aren't making nearly enough compared to their male counterparts conversation has been consumed instead by the specific Caitlin Clark exchange with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Matter of fact, let's hear that exchange. Here's Greg Doyle asking Caitlin Clark in what I was her introductory press conference, right, Eddie Spaghetti, to, yeah, with the Indiana Fever and to the gathered press pool there. And what I couldn't figure out is, so Caitlin Clark does that hand, that two, that like
the Taylor Swift hand, the love
thing. Okay, that's a Taylor heart. Swift thing. She owns, yeah, that Taylor now. Swift, I didn't know that.
No. It's just like something she was always known for, but it's like a very popular thing to say "I love you" with your hand. Okay.
By the way, I have like 17 questions that are in my brain right now that I want you to ask Tom Brady. But okay, we're going to move on from that now and instead talk about this. So Greg Doyle's like, hey, check it out, Caitlin Clark. When you hear him do that and there's the audio silence, he's making the hand heart thing at her. Okay, play, take it away, Eddie Spaghetti.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like, yeah, that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's cool. Start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine.
Okay, so super creepy, I think, is what a lot of people, I think everybody reacts like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? Sarah Tiana, the floor is yours. What's your reaction to all this?
My reaction is that for him to say, it's really, first of all, it's really condescending to say that, like, I'll write good things about you if you tell me that you love me. Like, it's like, like, if you treat me as much, if you love me with as much love as you give to your own family, we'll get along just fine. Like, oh, so it's transactional. So if I tell you I love you, then you'll write nice things about me. F you. Like, I don't need you to write nice things about me in order for me to perform well on the court. And I don't need to talk to you or show you any love or affection in a press conference. I don't care what you write about me. You can write whatever you want. I'm going to do what I do. You do what you do. And you'd be lucky that you get to ask me a question and maybe I'll talk to you. Maybe that's my transaction. So nice try. Good luck. But he's never going to get to ask Caitlin Clark a question again. And he shouldn't. He shouldn't be able to ask her a question.
You really think that's it? I mean,
he can come in there. He can come in there all he wants. And he can ask her a question and she'll just probably go, I would just shrug and never give a response and then just go to another question. Like I'm obligated to talk to the media. I'm not obligated to answer what he says. Who cares?
Jemele Hill on Thursday morning took to Twitter, and you know, it sort of to me a week removed from David Aldridge creating a different standard for how we regard female sports versus male sports and all that, which I think is heading down the wrong path, well-intentioned as it is. Jemele Hill is saying like this is a big moment, an inflection point, however she phrases it, saying basically the media needs to grow up in how they treat women's sports. I don't think that's what you want to do. You don't want to create a different standard for how we treat women's sports, right? Or for the women athletes.
But would that guy tell Jonte Murray that, like, if he shows the love symbol to his family, if you show that to me, we'll get along just fine? Like, that's also super creepy and weird. Like why does a reporter need to be given extra attention or love or like shown love from an athlete? Like if our relationship is based on respect. If you ask me good questions and I give you answers and like, and you print what I say, like now we have mutual respect for each other as, you know, someone that writes things down that I say. I'm out here on the court busting my butt. You ask me about it. You should be asking me about my game and my play. Like, this is it. We're not friends. Like,
I don't know. See, that's
we just met.
To me, okay, that's not the place for it. You have a gathered room of people wanting to ask a question. Now's not your time to be a wiseacre. And to me, that's the thing that stands out. I think it's this guy trying to be funny in a way at a woman, and I do think he wouldn't do that at a guy specifically, the heart thing and all of that. And so that's the creepy element of it. But more the offensive part to me is that he's trying to be funny, and he once again proves what I sincerely feel like the sports media's problem is. The people on high love to say to the talent, as it were, the writer, the on-air person, the what do they call it? The forward facing. What do they call that? Camera facing, whatever you call it.
The face of the league. Yeah.
Whatever the hell it's called. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what fancy words people use for these things. The thing is that they so casually say like, hey, go have some fun with that. Go, you know, let your hair down a little bit. Like everybody doesn't have that gear. Everybody cannot be funny. Here's what's easy to do. Who's going to win this game? To argue for team A or team B? That's very easy to do. Team B is way better. Are you crazy? Team A? You think they even belong on the same floor with Team B? That's insane. Anybody can have that conversation. What's not easy to do is to be clever around it and to be funny about it and to crack wise, but not to make the subject at whom you're addressing look like a joke or turn them into some sort of clown on any level. I have proven, my entire career has proven how difficult it is to be funny. Sarah Tiana, a little more success. Are you as offended by this? I think that's where it comes from, is that everybody thinks that, or a lot of people think like, I'm going to be funny. It's not that hard to be funny. No. What's easy to do is the binary conversation that people get so much credit for. People, everybody, big star, because he can argue one side or the other. Guess what, everybody? That's easy. What's not easy is being funny and clever and distinctive in your analysis of something. How say you, Tiana?
Sure. I mean, I think there's only really one Charles Barkley, you know what I mean? Like Shaq and him like have a lot of fun, but like, I've never really known a reporter to be funny. Like, and I don't know where that would, what that would do. It's a very confusing because it just feels so out of context. Like, you were just trying. I think sometimes people use that as an excuse. Like, oh, I was just trying to be funny. And I'm like,
that's the best.
Were you?
Funny how many people say, Oh, it was just a joke. It's like,
I was just
there's
joking.
Nothing in our personal history that indicates to me that you're a funny person. So why now are you starting to break out as a comedian?
Right. It's because you got caught doing something weird and then you go, yeah, oh no, right. I was just trying to be funny. Like, but then like there are situations where it's taken the wrong way. Like, remember when Cam Newton got in trouble in that press conference because a woman was asking him about a route, a woman reporter, and then he goes, oh, it's just funny to hear a woman talk about routes. And I, and like people got so mad at him and I'm like, but it is fun. It, what he meant was like, it's weird because it's right. new. It's just new. It, he said funny because that's like the way he talks about things that are uncomfortable or different. And that's okay. You know, like it, it is weird. It is different for women to know so much about football routes because notoriously women have not been in that room. Women aren't necessarily always studying tape. They aren't at the forefront of the tape conversations. They are at the forefront of the sideline conversations of like, how are you guys going to adjust for the second half type stuff? So it is funny. It is different. But what he
reporter is not what Greg Doyle is. You know, there is that distinction that's an important one that I think a lot of people skim over. There is a reporter and there's a pundit and there's a columnist, which is a pundit, obviously, in the written form. And there's a people who are analyzing what it all means from the report. And there are different kind of things. And I think there's plenty of room for somebody to be funny with athletes and about athletes and about sports. Obviously, look at what you're doing right now, cracking wise about the most famous of them all. I just think the assumption that that's a gear that everybody has and should apply at their leisure is a bridge too far for a lot of people who are doing it, who just have no sense of humor. As I've said many times before, people will tell you terrible things about themselves. People will tell you, like, I know I'm not the best looking guy around, but I try to make up for it. People say, like, you're way nicer than I am. Like, I know I'm not the brightest bulb, but I make up for it by a hustle. The one thing people will never concede about themselves is that they have a bad sense of humor. Even if they can't tell a joke, everybody thinks they get the joke. And it's funny because that's the quality that a lot of people have a blind spot for. They have no idea that they don't get jokes, that they're not funny, and so on and so forth. I'll say you. I'm sorry. I'm celebrating you and your high-end funny people.
Well, yeah, I think like some people, like everybody's sense of humor is different. We know that, you know, when Stephen Colbert, the Colbert Report came out, like people thought it was like a real news show, you know, like they were like, yep, I totally agree, you know. And
yep, John Stewart just took an uber conservative guy and threw him on TV. That's true.
Yeah. So, you know, like my dad like doesn't understand sarcasm. So like, you know, like that's always fascinating. I remember once like me and Riggle used to do this podcast together and Riggle always talked about how good he was at karate. It's like, I'm the master of the low kicks, right? Which isn't even a thing in karate. Like, do all the stuff. So when my dad met him, he did like a karate move on Riggle. And Riggle was like, had no idea what he was. He was like, oh, interesting. You know, then my dad is like confused, does it again. And then later he tells me, Riggle didn't know as much about karate as he says. And I go, no, he doesn't know anything about karate. And he's like, no, but he says he does. I go, well, he's joking. No, he's not joking. He talks about it. I go, I know he talks about it. Like, I'm in the room with him. I know that he's joking. So like, I think like, you know, I think comedy is hard because people absorb your comedy in a variety of ways. And you have to be comfortable if they do not take it well. And you have to just move on and continue to do it and know that like some people think it's funny, some people don't, and that's okay. And I think if this guy really was trying to be funny, people just need to move on and be okay with it. But I don't, if Caitlin Clark doesn't find it's funny, if didn't find it funny, which it doesn't seem like she did, I don't think she owes him anything extra or different. And I think he has to do more work to be better around her to win her trust back. I think that is something that's the risk that you take if you're going to go out on that ledge. So if people don't trust, it's like when I go out on stage and I'm not doing well, I have to earn trust back and I have to dig myself out of that hole. And it's not immediate. It takes me a while. And that's okay. That's a lesson that I had to learn. I was trying a new bit. I swung and missed, but now I got to work my way back in with the crowd. And that's, I understand that. Like, that's just part of the game.
Well, and the standard is different. And I don't know if it's higher. I guess it probably is. If I'm in, to some degree, if I am going to a comedy club and here comes a comedian to the stage, I assume that, I mean, I am positioned to be amused, but also there's a cynicism like, let's see what this person has to make me laugh. Whereas Caitlin Clark is not sitting there waiting for somebody to throw hilarious questions at them and guffaw about it. So then on that level, like the standard, if you're going to do that to Caitlin Clark, you better be funny. And like, you know, I guess I can make this about me a little bit in that I go up to players and like complete strangers at Super Bowls and say, like, is this a must win game? And I get some weird looks, but I think there's some, like, they don't know me and they don't know like where I'm coming from, but there is something that 98% of them get as like, this guy's trying to be kind of funny with me in a way. And there's something to the Greg Doyle part of it, like that you just ain't got that gear, friend. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, and clearly it's hit and miss with Dave. And so I'm not saying that I'm 100% and I can condescend to you about your failed attempts at being funny. As Sarah just said, even, yes, sometimes things aren't funny, but there is something about a batting average, I guess. Our mutual pal Carola talks about that a lot, about like, batting average is something that you need to think about if you're going to try to crack wise on camera or on the page or otherwise. Like swinging and missing and being Dave Kingman is not great. Hitting 150 but hitting the long ball every time is not what you aspire to. You want to be Tony Gwynn. Actually, you want to be more Ted Williams, hitting for average and some power periodically.
Yeah. With a history of going to battle and war and a reputation, but like, it's, you know, I think also like when you talk about media day and like you talk about like who you're going around and talking to, like there's definitely athletes that are funnier, right? Who like know how to take jokes and know how to throw them back. And you know, you can have a little bit more fun with Gronk than you can with Brady, right?
Well, like, or QBs are wired to, like, Tom Brady strikes me in the couple exchanges I've had with him, like, he's picking up what I'm laying down. He's just the QB. Yeah, no. He can't be effing around out there with me too much as like Travis Kelce can, who is one of the guys who you describe. Yeah. It's like, you can, he'll go with you on whatever you want to do.
So what my point in that is, like, Caitlin Clark doesn't have a reputation of being silly with reporters. So like, maybe ease her in with something a little less creepy. If that's what you're going to swing with, like maybe swing with a joke about Indiana or like coming from Iowa to Indiana, which state that starts with an I is your favorite now, you know, like, I don't know, like something that's like a little bit more softball-y to see if she's the kind of person that's like, but not asking her to tell you she loves you.
No. And, you know, now that you've brought this up, it's sort of like guys who announce presidential bids and then like, oh, well, now we're going to dig in on them on a level that that you aren't ready for. I think that's what's about to happen to the WNBA. Now people are investing time into the contracts. They don't make enough money. Mm-hmm. I think people are going to start looking at Indiana has a basketball team and they named it the Fever. They named it after illness. This is worse than wild. What the hell is Indiana Fever? What kind of name is that?
No, there's this really funny comic. Oh man. And she, I can't, I'm like blanking on her name right now, but she's so funny. And she has a whole bit about whether or not something is the name of a Kardashian kid or a WNBA team. And like the games are so fun, but the names of the WNBA teams are like not great. And I totally agree. I'm like, you know, we, in order to make what, you know, like to make change and, you know, obviously WNBA is a really young league, you know, you can't expect for change to happen overnight, but this is how change happens. Change happens gradually by having big names come in that people love, like bringing more money into the sport, selling jerseys, like all of these, like, will help that pay scale go up throughout the years. Like it should not be equal to the NBA. Like it doesn't make it, you know, on a, you know, the TV contract for the WNBA for the whole, you know, year makes just about as much as Wembanyama. So like
last week's guest, Megan Gailey, our guest on this show a week ago, the great Megan Gailey, has been arguing with people on social media about the pay scale, but that's right. Like you can't get aggrieved about it. Like, yes, in success, the money will go up. Right. I mean, like the more eyeballs, like, that's right.
And like what you can do as your part is go to a game, buy merchandise, you know, watch it on TV. Like, these are all things that I've never done, so I can't complain about the WNBA.
Bill Burr's bit about that is hysterical. You've heard that, I'm sure. His run on like, if you want the WNBA to succeed, go to games and stop watching the Kardashians so much.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Like, you can't complain. I can't complain about it because I don't go, but I want to now. Like, because now I'm more invested in some of the players. Like, I didn't know enough of the players, but over the last 2 years, I've watched more players. I'm like, I want to, you know, I want to go see Angel Reese play live. I want to go see Caitlin Clark play live. So these are all things that I'm excited to do. And even like Juju at USC, like I'm interested in doing that. And I'm interested in taking my son so that I can engage with him and like tell him like, hey, isn't it cool? Because he's always like already a huge fan of women's softball because we live next to a girls' softball field and he thinks their masks are cool. So he wants to watch it on TV when we're scrolling. And I'm like, yeah, dude, whatever. Like, please, you know, be an ally. But like, these are the only things that make change. So yes, but the first thing that needs to change is also some of the names.
Those masks are good. I like when the pitchers wear them in softball. I remember at Little League when there were two fields and there were grown-up guys playing softball nearby. And I'll never forget the wormhole things that just stick in your brain forever. A guy hit a line drive and it hit the pitcher in the head. And I was so spooked by that as somebody who was pitching in Little League. I always wanted one. And now I'm envious of the people who get to wear the masks out on the hump. And now a quick break.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey, Tiana, Dynamite stuff. You have to go write some jokes for Tom Brady. Eddie Spaghetti has to go press off his slacks for whatever the hell he's doing this weekend. I've got to go not watch the Stanley Cup playoffs because my team ain't in them. Yeah. Just waiting for forget baseball because the Bucks just got swept by the shameful Metropolitan. So now I'm just waiting until football kicks off so I can wring my hands about Russell Wilson getting out of there sooner rather than later. So
the Bucks are going to be fine. That division is way up for the taking. you know, and McCutchen just got his 300th home run. It's amazing. And it's just your pitching that your pitching is giving up.
Pitching is going to be good, Tion. No.
I know. I mean, once Skeens is finally allowed to throw more than four pitches a day.
I know. If you watch Jared Jones, though, they yanked him after 59 pitches. He'd given up one hit, had been throwing donuts at the Metropolitan.
So good.
I know. I hate to be this guy. I think it was the right thing to do. You want them to get shut
too
down?
Early.
What if they're in the pennant race, too, by the way? Like, what if it's going to be August? Like, well, I mean, he's thrown too many innings. Like, we're going to shut him down now would be way worse, right?
No. I mean, you guys are competing with the Reds, you know, and like the Brewer. It's like, you're fine. Like, that division, everyone's going to be hovering around 500. So, like, just take it easy and then make a push for the last month and a half. Like, you don't, all these pitchers are getting injured. You do not want your guys to do that. Like, save them.
That's right.
It's not important right now. We're not even close to the All-Star break. So no.
I'm conflicted about it, is I do think it's wise to play the long game, but also in 2024, to your point, if the NL Central can be had, like this thing of like, no, we're playing the long game, Pittsburgh fans, like, for 2026, if you can win a division now and get into the GD playoffs now, buckos, don't wait for tomorrow. You know, tomorrow the Yankees and Dodgers and Braves and otherwise are going to be bidding to take Paul Skeens away from you forever. Go for it right now while you still have these guys.
I don't think ownership's going to let them go, because like, there's this other good guy on the A's team that's amazing. And like, I think that might be one that they keep.
Well, let's hope so. I'm trying to, be an ally, like you say, by growing a similar mustache.
That you can see. I should also tell you that my long ball segment that I used to do on my Instagram on Mondays is now on MLB Network on Mondays.
No way!
On a show called Off Base every Monday, which is 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific. So they're now airing my Sarah Tiana Digs the Long Ball segment. So
marvelous. I've caught it online and enjoyed it. I'm glad it will find an even greater audience. It deserves one, because it is great itself. So is Sarah Tiana great. Now go show it to Tom Brady and to the comedian Jeffrey Ross and everyone else in that sparely decorated office building that you're in. And we'll talk to you in a week from today. All right, Tiana?
Thanks, Dave. Good to see you.
Say hello to Tom for me. I'll send you my list of questions, but I only want them answered if he's going to be 100% truthful, or don't even bother. And you can tell him I said that. All right, there goes Tiana. Here we go to Eddie Spaghetti. Enjoy your wedding. Enjoy all the people out there in Staten Island. We'll talk to everybody in the world of sports 1 week from today. Until then, thanks so much, sports fans. Been a thin slice of heaven.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.